As you know, since the 2013 election, I've been speaking every week on a Monday to the then Immigration Minister, Scott Morrison, now Social Services Minister. Now, I've spoken on the odd occasion to his replacement in Immigration, Peter Dutton. Now, I've been talking to Mr. Dutton's office through my staff because I wanted to set up something a little more formal, because I think there are always every week immigration issues to discuss, even though we don't have the cascade of boats that we had under Labor. So hopefully most Thursday mornings, as long as he's in the country, I'll try and talk to the Immigration Minister, Peter Dutton. He's here now. Minister, good morning.
Morning, Ray.
Thank you very much for making yourself available.
Pleasure.
We're recalling our ambassador to Indonesia over the execution of the two Australians. As a senior minister within the government, how would you describe our current relationship with Indonesia?
Well, I think the relationship has been strong, and I think the two countries have got a lot to work on, both in terms of terrorism, obviously, issues within our region, trade. We've got important issues in my area, making sure that we can keep these boats stopped. But we've got to have respect and mutual respect in the relationship, and the ambassador's been called back because Australia is deeply offended by the execution of these two men. Prime Minister's made that very clear, and I think it's clear for all Australians to see that we don't accept the fact that these two men have been executed in the way that they have been, and I think this is an appropriate statement by the government.
Now, I don't know whether you caught what the former New South Wales Premier Bob Carr had to say last night on Sky News, and you raised the spectre of boat people, and we need cooperation with Indonesia in relation to that, and we've obviously achieved as a nation a great deal from where we were to where we are today.
Sure.
He's concerned, and it's a strange thing given that he's a Labor politician, that we withdraw the ambassador and stop ministerial contact, because the two things he's concerned about are the illegal boats, but more importantly he's concerned about terrorism, particularly the threat of terrorism in Bali and Australians travelling still to Bali. And he thinks that we've overstepped the mark by recalling the ambassador. He says there are other ways we could have dealt with it. I don't agree with him necessarily, but what's your view?
Well, look, I don't want to bag Bob, but I think Bob loves a bit of media attention now and again. I'm not sure if people
Now, Peter, let me tell you, as someone who interviewed him almost on a weekly basis for a number of years, I wouldn't dispute that, and I don't think Bob would dispute it.
He knows how to get on the right side of a microphone. So, look, I think the point that he makes in terms of us having a good ongoing relationship is dead right. And at some stage, we will continue to work on a number of important issues, as we say. There are other ways in which we can communicate with the Indonesians. But at the moment, we're concentrating on what is a very significant issue. These two blokes sat in a jail cell for 10 years and they did the wrong thing. They were convicted criminals. In the end, the government has responded accordingly. And I think most Australians would support that.
Now, a few days ago, a story broke about an Australian doctor trained here. He's joined Islamic State. He's appeared in propaganda videos calling for other Muslim doctors and nurses to join him in Syria. The AMA won't deregister him, strangely enough, although when his registration comes up for renewal, they may take a different view. What penalties would he face if he tried to return to our country tomorrow?
Well, he'd face penalties of that would put him in prison up to 25 years. So might be a bit of a moot point about whether he's registered as a doctor or not. We know that there are over 100 Australians fighting in the Middle East at the moment. People are going to Syria. We're stopping even young kids at the borders. We've got counter-terrorism unit officers at our 8 international airports. And they've conducted something like 28,000 interviews over the last 12 months. So we're doing a lot, but when you get somebody as highly educated as this doctor who has answered this call and been part of this propaganda video, I mean, it sounds a real alarm bell to all of us. This is a huge problem. And if he came back to Australia, if he wasn't killed there in the first place, if he came back to Australia and he'd been in a prescribed area in the Al-Raqqa province, or if he'd been associated with ISIS, he could face jail when he gets back.
Just on a poll that I read about recently at the Australian National University, showing the 9 in 10 people think immigrants improve Australian society, and if I was polled, I'd say that as well. I've had the great fortune to be involved with recently Australian Maltese. I'm talking about second and third generation, but very proud of their heritage and very proud Australians, Australian Greeks, Australian Italians, a whole range of people.
Great people.
Australian Asian, Australian Chinese. But 50% of the people polled at the ANU think stronger measures should be taken to exclude illegal immigrants, and that would be people who arrive here by boat or arrive here by plane and overstay their visa and their welcome. Your view on that?
Well, it's not too surprising because most Australians have got pretty good level of common sense, and they want people to do the right thing, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in society. Part of the reason that we're such a great society is that we respect the rule of law. We abide by the allegiance that we give to our country. We do the right thing. I think the reality is that we accept a huge number of people. In fact, on a per capita basis, we're one of the most generous nations in the world in terms of the people that we receive through the humanitarian program. But we have to be tough on these boats. 1,200 people drowned at sea, and we had 50,000 people arriving on 821 boats. So we've brought an end to that, but the people smugglers are still trying to fill boats, and we need to make sure that we stare down that threat. So I think most Australians support people doing the right thing, not the wrong thing.
Is that an ongoing problem? I mean, we don't hear about it. You don't give me a report. I mean, this thing was played nearly every program during the time of Labor.
Well, we've
that was my announcement, by the way, the foghorn in the background to signify another boat. And I haven't had to play it for a long, long time. I'm hoping I don't get to play it in the future either.
No, don't jinx me, mate. Look, we are dealing with this in a more discreet way, if you like. So right. Boats are still being filled. We can disrupt some of that activity. We're doing a lot of work in Southeast Asia, but people smugglers in the Middle East are trying to fill boats. You're seeing the tragedy in the Mediterranean at the moment. The fact is that we turned a boat around recently, sent it back to Vietnam, had 46 people on board, and we worked very closely with the Vietnamese government because essentially these were fishermen trying to seek a new life, which you can understand, but we don't accept people that way. And we've said anybody who comes by boat will go to one of the regional processing centres, either in Nauru or in Manus, and they will not be settled in this country. And there are a number of other things that we're doing as well. We've got temporary protection visas, and where we can turn these boats around, if it's safe to do so, we do that. And that's been the thing that has made the big difference.
A story today in the Courier Mail, but it's not germane to Queensland. It happens in the Riverina quite often, we talk about it, and in rural New South Wales. 17 people set to be deported, found working illegally on a Brisbane construction site. 13 Chinese, 4 Malaysians, taken from the site at Redcliffe yesterday, north of Brisbane. 7 of the Chinese men and 3 Malaysians were unlawful non-citizens. The other 6 Chinese men and remaining Malaysian were all working in breach of their visa. It was obviously a visa that wouldn't allow them to work. So that's a simple one. They get deported. But what I wanted to talk to you about, there was a story this week about a mum with an autistic son, I think from the Philippines, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yes.
Now, I get, you know, emails occasionally from people saying, oh, look, we've got a migration agent, we've done this, and they appear to be all reasonable people who've come here under the assumption they could get citizenship. But how do you deal with it as an individual? I mean, I know it's not you making the decision, although the minister has ultimate call on some of these matters, but it must be a really difficult task to, you know, deal with cases like the one from Queensland about the mum and the autistic son and others that were very, very worthy, I'd imagine, of consideration by the minister. But how do you deal with that on a personal level?
Well, it's a good point, and I think it's probably the toughest part of any immigration minister's job, because you do see some tough cases, and you're a dad, you're a compassionate person, despite what some people might have to say on Twitter, and the fact is that you want to help people out, but in this case, the Townsville lady who had come here to work as a nurse, she's got a young child who, since he has arrived, has been diagnosed with autism. The way in which the department looks at this under the law is that they say, okay, if we provide support to this family, to this kid with special needs, how much will it cost the taxpayer over the course of the lifetime, education, all of the therapy, all of the health services that would be required, and importantly, would that disadvantage an Australian child with autism if there was only so many places within these particular programs? So, look, the department applied the law. In the end, the minister has the final call, and I've asked to have a look at this case, which we're doing at the moment. I think common sense can prevail, and we can provide support to this mother and her child. But in the end, we've got to have a balance where we can't say yes to everybody. We've got a generous arrangement, but we can't take all comers.
No, I mean, I think you would operate on the basis, and people will say, it's no good being cynical. And you made a very valid point there, that the lady arrived here to work not knowing her son was autistic. Now, there'd be plenty of other people who would know their child had a chronic illness and was bringing that child here specifically, even though they might be working, for treatment that they can't get in their home. They should be the Philippines or anywhere else. And that's where it becomes difficult. You've got to ascertain whether the person is actually telling you the truth, because you take people at face value.
It is. And how could you blame them? I mean, if you had a kid in the same scenario, I'd be lined up with the other parents at the airport in Manila or wherever it might be
to get better treatment.
Absolutely. But in the end, we've got to have an orderly migration process. We provide a lot of aid to countries. We provide a lot of medical support. We provide a lot of support here in country, in Australia, to families in this situation. But we can't help everybody around the world, and it's a question of balance. And I think we get the balance pretty much right.
So are we right to talk on most Thursdays when you're around?
Mate, I'll be very happy to. It'd be great to come and have a chat.
I think it's particularly important. We started with Scott, your predecessor. Immigration is a thing people are concerned about. Thankfully, in relation to boats, there's not as much to talk about as there was previously, but I think it's important we talk about the issues. And from time to time, I'll get emails about the sort of things we've spoken about this morning I can raise with you, and you can discuss that at that personal level. I appreciate your time.
Pleasure. Thanks, mate.
Immigration Minister Peter Dutton in the studio.